Well, hello, everybody. This is Toby Milroy again, Chief Operating Officer for NATMA, the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. And welcome to your first unit in your NATMA new member, you know, quick start process. And we've taken time to put together this strategy for you to really help you get up and running very quickly in our program. I know many members who get started in our association find themselves with a huge resource archive of strategies and tools that they have at their disposal that perhaps they never had before. And sometimes it's very easy to get a little bit overwhelmed. So what we really wanted to do was take this opportunity to build the foundations for you and really help you with exactly the sort of A to Z strategies that are helping, you know, the nation's top school owners operate, you know, enormously successful, enormously profitable businesses that also, you know, really support their community and build a strong, you know, strong roots in their community. So, that's sort of our mission for today. So our first lesson today is about sort of an overarching topic and concept. And we're very fortunate to have NATMA CEO, Grandmaster Stephen Oliver with us today. And we'll be discussing today sort of the fundamental measurements that you must be, you know, using in your martial arts school to make sure that you're keeping track of and planning for success. And again, the paradigm for today's call is the quote that we've all heard of, you know, failing to prepare is preparing to fail, right? And this is all about the fundamental measurements and how to acquire this data and how to manage all of this, you know, these statistics, that it is vitally important for school owners to be taking very seriously, especially through this, you know, this early part of your association with NATMA, because we're here to help you get results. You know, this isn't a zero-sum game. This isn't just about having a group of friends that you can, collaborate with, although that's a big piece of our association. This is about how do we get results? How do we increase your income? How do we increase the financial stability of your school? And how do we reach more students and help them have a better life because of it? So, Master Oliver, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. We're really focused today on sort of this fundamental process of being successful. And one of the things that you teach and we've seen for years and years and years working with so many martial arts school owners is that seems to be that there's a couple of groups of school owners. One group of school owners kind of goes into the school every day and, you know, does the manual labor, does all the work, and they just kind of hope for good results. And at the end of the month, they did what they did, right? And there's another group of school owners who are very focused on accomplishing a specific goal and moving their school to a certain level. Can you give us a little overview on that? I mean, you've worked with, you know, the most successful school owners on the planet. And in fact, in your own organization, of course, you're running, many multiple schools at a very, 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 very high level. So, you know, what do you think the big perceptual or paradigm difference is between those groups of school owners and what we need to be focused on first?
Well, you know, one of the people that we've worked closely with NATMA over the years, and you and I have worked closely with, is Brian Tracy, who's, of course, I don't know how many books he's written, but he's one of the key motivational teachers in the country. And a quote that I like of his is that success is about goal setting, and everything else is commentary. And when we think about goal setting, most martial artists start with the idea of understanding the goal of being the grand champion at the, you know, at the tournament, or the goal of having a certain number of students, or the goal of achieving their fifth dan, or their, you know, seventh degree black belt, or whatever it might be. But oftentimes we don't take the lessons that we've learned as a student of martial arts, or even a master of the martial arts, and apply that to the operations of a professional school and the financial outcomes of our business. Another great management thinker that recently deceased is Peter Drucker, and he's really kind of known as the father of management thinking in the world. And what he said is, "What gets measured gets done." And if you look at a school operation, is if you're not keeping track of numbers on the key functions, and of course the key function is attracting and enrolling new students, taking those new students and helping them commit to a more aggressive and a more comprehensive outcome in their program, and then retaining them long term. If you're not keeping key numbers on how your student progress and retention is, on how the process is of renewing or upgrading them, and how the process is of external marketing and as well as sales closing percentages, then it's very difficult to make improvements in those things because every month you're kind of shooting in the dark.
Well, yeah, you know, and like you said, isn't this one of the fundamental lessons we learned in our path to black belt, on our path to black belt, right? You know, one of the most valuable lessons or one of the most valuable things that we learn as a student is we learn how to take a long-term goal, something that we might perceive to be almost unattainable, you know, the black belt, and how to break that down into intermediate and then short-term goals, and then how to take daily action on those goals, right? And I mean, in fact, I have an entire book about this topic based loosely on Brian Tracy's outline, and it's, you know, designed specifically for martial arts school owners. And this process, again, like you said, is something that unfortunately sometimes we, you know, we open a school and we kind of forget, right? We just sort of show up every day and hope that the results are going to be what we want. And I think the paradigm shift that you have to have on that is just imagine if you ran your martial arts school and you never did, you know, rank examinations. If you just had students that came in and you just hoped in 3 or 4 years they'd be good enough to be a black belt, right? Well, you eliminated every step along the way where you can monitor them and adjust them, right? Where you can sort of check their progress and help them fix their sidekick and, you know, help them, you know, work on their flexibility and their strength and their cardiovascular and all that stuff. You remove all that feedback loop, and you probably aren't going to get very good results, right? So, I mean, you're going to have very mediocre results at best. So this is exactly the same thing. So the first piece of it that you mentioned, I think that we should maybe spend just a couple of minutes on is let's talk about financial results. Let's talk about how many new students we're acquiring, all of that stuff. You know, unfortunately, we see a lot of school owners who get to the end of the month, and they look at the statistics. They look at the numbers that they've tracked, and they go, well, this month we did, you know, 6 enrollments and 2 renewals and, you know, $5,000 a month, $5,000 this month. Well, next month, here's what we're going to do. But the end of the month is, like, too late, right? This is sort of like you've already gotten your black belt, and then you're now going to do a rank examination, right, or monitor and adjust them. So what is that process? How does that process really look in a highly systemized, highly effective, highly professional school?
Well, I think there's several things that are very highly important to keep in mind. And maybe back up a step from what you said a minute ago is – there certainly has been a trend in the industry to miss some of the lessons you just said as well, because students need a monthly goal and recognition, a 2 or 3 month goal and recognition, an annual and a 3 to 4 year timeline. And the same is true with your school. Is you want to be thinking of where do I want to be at the end of the year, where do I want to be in 3 to 5 years, where do I need to be in this quarter, where do I need to be this month, and then, as you were just alluding to, I look at the month, and let's say that I have 21 business days in the month. I now need to know on my key numbers, what's my daily objective, what's my weekly objective. And certainly as we talk about stats and keeping track of stats, there are some numbers that only make sense in a monthly context or some numbers that only make sense in a quarterly context. But most of the sales objectives truly can be broken down into a daily. So if I have a 22 days in a month and my goal is 22 enrollments, I know I need 1 enrollment a day. And if I'm averaging 1 enrollment for every 2 inquiries, I know I need 2 inquiries a day. So you can be tracking that on a daily, weekly number. I know what I've done for years is I always set each of our instructors and program directors down, and we'd take their day planner or day runner or whatever whatever it would be, and we would, you know, count backwards. So, you know, I still do the same thing in my day planner right now for the current month. I started at, where was it at? 25 business days for the month. And so I have 25 business days that in this case was on Monday the 2nd, 24 business days, 23 business days outlined here. But now I need to know how many enrollments do I need by the end of the first week, how many by the end of the second week, how many by the end of the third week, how many by the end of the fourth week. So if the target is 20, I need 5 week 1, 10 by the end of week 2, 15 by the end of week 3, 20 by the end of week 4, and by extrapolation, one a day. And it gives you the ability to adjust. So if you're behind schedule at the middle of the first week, you know that you have to get to work on marketing activities because you don't want to wait till the month is over and then realize that things didn't work out well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this also, I don't want to say trickles down, but many martial arts school operators who first get involved with us, in a lot of cases, they're kind of a one-man band. Maybe it's them and their spouse or something like that. They don't really have staff members at this point. Some do. But in a lot of cases, they're just now starting to take their business seriously as a profession. And what you just described, that process of breaking a month down into daily goals, I mean, that's exactly the same thing we do for our students, right? When the students come in and we're working on our forms, and this is week number 2 in the month, then everybody should be at least at 14 moves in their form. If someone's only at 3 moves, we know we have to take action, right? We know we have to get them an extra lesson or, you know, have an instructor work with them one-on-one or, you know, we have time to adjust. But if we, you know, the flawed management concept is leave alone zap, right? It's, I think it was in One Minute Manager. I mean, Ken Blanchard's stuff is usually pretty overly simplistic, but this is a pretty good, you know, it's a pretty good example. In staff management, if you, you know, think that the quarterly evaluation is enough feedback to be able to move your staff where you want them to be, you've got some serious issues because you're just sort of leaving them do whatever they want to do, and then you get to go zap them at the evaluation, right?
The best metaphor I've heard from that was called seagull management. Periodically you fly in, squawk a lot, crap all over everybody, and then fly away.
Exactly. And again, this is the opposite process. This is about taking control of the business and exhibiting, you know, an enormous amount of influence over the outcome at the end of the month, right? And again, if I'm a smaller school, if I don't have a staff yet, These fundamental statistics, this process of breaking the monthly goal down into daily, you know, X number of business day goals, this is really going to help us focus our staff on what they need to be working on too.
On the small school operator, though, let's not miss a fundamental excuse that some people use, is hard numbers. So really keeping a track, you know, I mean, on our stats sheet on a clipboard at the front desk is as good a way as any. But it's an objective way of measuring performance. And so let's say I am a one-man band. I'm the head instructor, the program director, branch manager, accountant, and the marketing director at the school. And my excuse is many times, I don't know how many small failing schools I've talked to who say, well, I really don't have anybody who works for me. And I know what's going on. Anybody I talk to enrolls. I don't keep track of the numbers because, you know, I know what's going on. And the reality is that's a subjective mode of operating. And you always think that you're doing your job fine. And if you're the owner operator, it's even more important to keep accurate numbers on every piece of the process. Because you don't know if maybe you were saying it a certain way 3 months ago and you were having a 90% conversion from an intro to enrollment, changed something slightly and suddenly it dipped to 60%, changed something else slightly and suddenly it dipped to 40%. And if you're not really looking at those numbers, it's very easy to fool yourself. So it's the small schools that have to get into the habit of really keeping track of those numbers. And then, of course, the great gift that you and I bring to the table, Toby, is that we're able to look at schools many times, look at their numbers, and find that maybe they're grossing $15,000, but with a few minor tweaks in the way they do it, they could be at $30,000. And you and I have taken schools from $15,000 to $30,000 in 90 days just by looking at the numbers. Now, if they don't have any tracking of what's going on, it's much more difficult process to get to the underlying roots of what's missing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So for, you know, before we move into the actual mechanics, right, I think the paradigm here is this. You as a school owner have to be deeply committed to measuring everything. You have to be deeply committed in this process, you know, through what you're going to experience through our association and through what, you know, what we're going to be helping you with. We want to make sure, you want to make sure that not only are you seeing a dramatic return on your investment for your NAMA, but that you're able to manage your business based on reality, not just sort of your perception of reality. And I know the syndrome very frequently, and we talk to many, many, many school owners, and like you said, when we do dig into their statistics, we will very frequently find that when you're managing by intuition, your intuition is almost always wrong, right? Because you're personally involved in the situation. You're personally, you know, martial artists wear their heart on their sleeve, right? And we really love what we do. We believe in what we're trying to accomplish in the community. And you know, in a lot of cases, when someone says that they can't afford it, or they say that, you know, the program just isn't working for them, or whatever the case may be, we take it personally. That weighs on our subconscious much more than the people who say, hey, this is great, right? So we really want to have concrete numbers on everything. And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time today, is exactly what to measure, how to measure it, and what our targets are. So I think from a paradigm standpoint, if I'm new to the association,
Let me give just one example of what you just said. Is I was working with a high-level school on coaching, and we made a change in the way they were presenting the renewals. And in the bottom line, we had basically tripled the price of their Black Belt Club membership. And 6 weeks later, I get a panicked call from the owner-operator who says to me, oh, my God, this, you know, everybody's saying they can't afford it. And I said, everybody say can't afford it? He said, well, I had 30 conferences. And I've had 10 people say it's just, you know, we were charging too much money, we can't afford it. And my next question, which he hadn't thought of, was, well, in the last 90 days before we implemented this change, how many conferences did you have? Luckily, he knew the number. And it was 34. I said, of those conferences, how many people didn't do what you were asking them to do? Turned out to be 12. Turned out that when we had made this change in the tuition structure, that his ratio had actually improved a little bit. It's just that in his mind, he was sensitive about and worried about this change, and now he heard that the same ratio of people who were saying no were all saying it because of price point. But the reality was his sales ratio was actually a little bit better than it had been, and it was at triple the price point that it had been before. And so it's a perfect example of what you're just saying, is if you don't have an objective measurement, many times you hear what it is you're focused on or worried about, rather than having the ability to look in and really see what's actually happening.
Yeah, and it's so common. I mean, it's such a natural human behavior, you know, that we're all the same. You know, the things that work for, you know, our highest level coaching clients to get them from $50,000 to $60,000 a month to $100,000 to $150,000 a month. The same systems, the same processes are what are going to help you take your school from wherever it is today to where it is that you want it to be. Because we're not dealing with the difference between style A and style B, right? We're not dealing with the difference between I teach Taekwondo and you're talking about Kung Fu or vice versa. What we're really dealing with is fundamental how this business works and how human beings who are interacting with this process work, right? So that's a fundamental piece of what we're describing. So, you know, rest assured, if I teach judo or if I teach jiu-jitsu or if I teach, you know, Muay Thai, whatever the case is, the fundamental core measurements that you're going to be taking and measuring are exactly the same, right, regardless of what your process is. So let's get into some of those, you know, specific, you know, what exactly do I measure and how do I measure it? Now, somewhere in this package, either on the website if you're listening to this online or downloading it online, or in a mail package if we send this to you, you're going to find what we call the financial control system. And in that system, you'll have lots and lots of different forms to be able to track weekly stats, monthly stats, yearly stats, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I want you to do right now is think about, we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start at new customer acquisition, student acquisition, you know, doing, you know, attracting new enrollments into the school. And then we're going to move all the way through to their, you know, their conclusion, which is, you know, be part of your upgrade program, your leadership program, whatever the case may be, if you have one. And we want to think about it like a pipeline, right? All of the stuff that we're going to help you implement in your school is all designed to get you to some target results, right? And in a lot of cases, these are going to be ratios between measurements. So let's start at the beginning. The very first thing that we have to be measuring, you know, we'll worry about strategy later, is total number of, you know, warm leads generated, right? And those are going to come in different categories. But a warm lead that's generated is someone who raises their hand and expresses some level of interest in what you do. And that could come from a website or from a carnival that you went to and collected leads or from a movie theater or from a daycare or from someone who had their birthday party at your school or the phone rang and someone picked it up and said, hey, how much are karate lessons, right? So the first step in this process, again, if you think about it like a pipeline, is number one stage in the pipeline is total number of warm leads, right? And then we're going to drop that, you know, those warm leads into a pipeline, and we're going to measure what percentage of those warm leads we convert into an appointment, that convert into an intro, that convert into a student, that become a long-term student, right? So Ms. Harvard, let's maybe walk through that process really quick. So number one stage is warm lead.
Let's start with the end in mind here for a second when you're looking at that, right? Your objective in this this pipeline is to have a new enrolled student, and let's define what that means in our most typical case. So let's say it's they paid a down payment, typically a couple or 3 months tuition up front. They've signed a contract, typically a year contract. They've set up to do monthly payments, EFT or credit card, and it's a signed and sealed committed person or family who's going to start in your school. Now, I often hear that. A reason I went to that such detail is I also often hear people say, you know, I did 10 enrollments this month, and what they mean is somebody paid them $49 for a four-week trial. Well, as an enrollment, let's consider this is a solid, they've made a commitment to start training, they've paid a couple of months tuition initially as a down payment or more, and they're set up on a monthly payment, and we certainly recommend that all the payments be EFT or credit card. You know, you can make a decision whether you're using, you know, one of the many software packages that we work with to use that or one of the many billing companies that we have a great relationship with and recommend. But you should have all the payments be happening automatically. So if the end in mind is that point, to get them enrolled, let's talk about what the process is and how we track that, right? Is in most cases, we're bringing them in for 1 to 2 visits to the school. The language that you just used there, Toby, for that was an intro, so an introductory class. And we've seen all kinds of different offers that work, and some of them are a 5-week offer, some of them are a 2-lesson offer, some of them are a 4-lesson offer, a 3-lesson offer, and we'll be showing you those and creating those through your time as a member with all the different ads and marketing pieces. But what we want to do is we want to track how many enrolled back to how many came in for, let's say, a second introductory lesson. How many people came in for a second introductory lesson versus how many came in for a first introductory lesson. How many people came in for a first introductory lesson relative to how many appointments we made? And then as you're talking about that pipeline, they can be a online lead that ended up getting a bunch of email and mail and stuff from us who then called us, or they could be an online lead that we did an outbound call to and made an appointment. They could be somebody responding from ValPak or Money Mailer who was an info call, so a call for information. They could be somebody who saw the sign, saw that classes were going on, and walked into the school. They could be somebody that we went and did a little demo at a daycare, collected permission slips, made outbound calls to, and made an appointment. Or they could be somebody that we were out in the community at a fair or something, had a booth, passed out literature, didn't capture a lead, but they called us. So I think if we start with that end in mind, that the end is to have a solid enrollment. And then once we have personally interacted with them, we want to figure out, are they impressed with the school? Are they impressed with the curriculum? Are they impressed with the people that they interact with? And did our process to talk to them lead them to finalizing enrollment in a timely manner? So those are ultimately our sales pipeline numbers that we're tracking. And then at the top end of that funnel, as you were talking about a minute ago, is we have leads that come from all kinds of different sources. And, you know, Jay Abraham talks about the difference between a suspect and a prospect. And prospect and lead are pretty much interchangeable, but a suspect is somebody who lives in the house in the community that fits your model demographic. So if you're looking for 35-year-old women to do a high-level kickboxing program, if they fit your profile, if you're looking for a family with a 7-year-old with a certain income level, they fit your profile. But a lead is actually somebody who somewhere along the line raised their hand that they were interested. It can be on your website. It can be filling out a permission slip. It can be came to a birthday party. There's wide variety that we'll be teaching everybody in the marketing segments of how to get those people to raise their hand.
Exactly. So the financial control system that you're going to have to model, again, we're going to give it to you on Word document, Excel spreadsheet, so you can go in and edit them as you need. But you're going to want to draw out your pipeline. What does your particular pipeline look like today? Now, we're going to talk about over time, over especially the next several weeks, we're going to talk about statistically the most effective proven strategies, proven pipelines that we know are working in today's economy, that are working in today's market with today's students. And that may be a little different than what you're currently doing. You may be doing one intro instead of two. You may be doing three instead of two. You know, there may be lots of variations in what you're currently doing. What we really want you to do today at this stage is to draw a pipeline of what your current process looks like. On the far left-hand side of the pipeline at the beginning, it's all of the activities that you're doing out there to generate a new lead, to generate someone who's interested in what you're doing. And then whatever your next step is, if you're calling them, if you're emailing them, whatever the case may be, you want to then determine how many of that total number. So let's say I went to a carnival, I have all of my Yellow Pages, people who are calling in from the Yellow Pages, people who are opting on my website, whatever the case is, and that was 100 leads. 100 people this month contacted me or I interacted with in some manner. Then what I want to know is how many of those people actually came in for a first lesson, how many came in for that first intro. And then from that, how many came in for the second intro if I have a two-intro process? And of that number, how many came in for the next step and the next step and the next step, right? So, you know, initially, before we talk about what we know to be highly effective, highly successful systems, those steps, those stages, before we get into all of that detail, first, it's very important to measure what you're currently doing, right? So build that pipeline. Put in your own benchmarks. Or not benchmarks, but stages. So for me right now, stage one is express interest. Stage two is, you know, our telemarketer people call them, or our program director calls them up and has a conversation with them. How many people did they actually contact? That sort of thing. How many of those people actually came in for a first lesson? How many of those people came back for their second lesson? How many who came in for the second lesson actually enrolled and signed the contract, made a down payment, and committed to coming to class? And then of those, how many am I putting into my renewal pipeline? How many am I lining up for the next stage in my program or my process? So whatever your current pipeline looks like, draw that out, map it out, and make sure that you have you know intimate knowledge of exactly how many people you have in what stage and how that process is working. Now, the targets, and again, we'll get into much, much, much more detail with the specific stages as we go. In week three, talk about, give me just a second, I can give you a quick outline here, actually. In week three, we're going to talk about handling the info call and how to maximize that stage. In week, week five, we're going to talk about different intro processes that we see generating different results, things like that. So stay tuned for all that. But for now, we want you to measure exactly what's happening in your school the way it currently is operating. Now, the targets for the end of this pipeline, at the end of this quick start process, at the end of this 20-ish week long period to get you up and running smoothly, you should be converting. Now, our targets for our high-level coaching members, of course, our franchise organization, is an 80% conversion rate from lead to intro one, and then an 80% conversion rate from intro to enrollment. So what we want our folks at the highest level to be doing is somewhere north of 80% of all the people who come in for that second lesson should be enrolling. And in most cases, when schools first get started with our processes, in many cases they're down into the 20s and 30% completion. So we really want you to take stock of where you are today, and then we're going to help move you to the next level as we go. So, any thoughts on that? So once you've built that pipeline, then we'll work on the specific system. Any thoughts on that pipeline at all, Mr. Alden?
Yeah, well, let's go back, I guess, in defined terms. Is if you think about there being sources of people who seek us out and sources of people who we seek out in one way or another. And so, let's take the weakest end, you're talking about people who put a slip in a lead box. And then at a little bit, a lot stronger end, let's say people who came in with a current student at a birthday party. And then you went out to some community organization and did a class and collected people who are interested, their name and phone number and so forth. So there you have leads that typically require an outbound call to convert to an appointment. And then you have people who have contacted us, and sometimes those are referrals. Sometimes it's somebody who has an interest and they saw the sign, so they walk into the school. Sometimes they were searching for martial arts lessons on Google or Bing and came across your website and then called you or made an appointment online. So we're generally using the term info call or information call as somebody who calls us looking for lessons. A walk-in, somebody who actually visits the school directly looking to find out about lessons. And then the term lead we're using generally is we've collected information somewhere, and then we have to pursue them either through email and direct mail and so forth, or through a live person calling them to schedule an appointment. So at the top end, we're going to be tracking each of those pieces as the conversion rate from lead to appointment. And then on the info call and walk-in, it's the conversion rate from an info call to an appointment or from a walk-in to an appointment. All this, Toby, right now, I'm sure for most people sounds pretty complicated. And there are, if you want to think about it, there's a small set of numbers and a complicated, more robust set of numbers. And if you have staff, you focus them on a relatively small set of numbers that you can discuss with them every day. So how many intros do we have? What's our ratio to enrollment? What's our monthly dropout rate? What percentage of our students who should have come to class this week didn't, right? As an owner-operator, you have to really get good at and systematized at keeping a broader set of numbers, because if you don't do that, it's just like every other goal-setting metaphor. It's like driving a car and you don't have a gas gauge, you don't have a tachometer, you don't have a speedometer. Or it's like bowling, but you know, nobody lets you see how many pins you knock over, nor what your score is until you've completed two or three games. So if you don't get really good at loving keeping track of those numbers and looking at them on a regular basis, you'll never be in that top 5% who's making a high six-figure income from running a martial arts school.
Yeah, and again, you know, to kind of go back to what we said first on the call today, is this process is exactly the process of success is what we teach students on the path to black belt, right? The process of being successful, the steps that we have that a person would take. You know, they take their long-term goal, break it down into intermediate and short-term goals. They take daily action on their goals. They have a competent coach and mentor to help them through over obstacles, someone who has perspective and skill that they perhaps don't have yet, to help them overcome the obstacles that they face and help them to plan for obstacles they can't yet foresee, right? So these are exactly the same steps that are going to behoove in your business operation. It's completely congruent with what your experience was, becoming a black belt or becoming a master instructor or becoming a master martial artist. So this concept of measuring everything is exactly the same thing that you did in your martial arts classes when you had the mirror in front of you, right? When you did the front kick, you had instant feedback on what your foot position was, whether your ankle was locked, if your toes were back, if your foot was arched. You had immediate feedback from the instructor saying, okay, that was pretty good. Let's add another inch to the hike. Okay, that's pretty strong. Let's add a little bit more speed to the reaching, whatever the case may be, right? These numbers and what you're experiencing through your NAMA membership thus far is the instructor watching your front kick. It's exactly the same thing. It's your immediate feedback on your current results, on what you're doing in the school. And if you aren't getting the results that you want, then this process will help you develop systems and tools to get the results that you want, right? To get the front kick the way you want it, and you know, to be able to deliver the power at the right place at the right time, at the right angle, and the right speed, right? So you know, we're really excited to help you get started in this, and we're really excited about this process that you're going to go through. Step one in this process is becoming, and like you said, loving these numbers, right? This is the feedback that you get in class every day. These numbers are your report card. And you have to really, you know, fall in love with this process of analyzing what your business is currently doing. So, take that to heart. Put those measurements in place. Use the financial control system forms that we have on the site or that you have in your package. Draw your pipeline out so that you know exactly what stages you're currently going through. What steps do your students take along their path of enrollment? If they just show up and you throw them in class for a couple of weeks and see how they do, then mark all that down. You know, how many people are coming in for their first class? How many come to the second? How many come to the third? How many come to two classes and you never see them again, right? Those types of things. So make sure that every step along the path of the enrollment of a student for you, you're measuring and you're tracking that in on your pipeline report or in the financial control.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the one other thing that goes with this is the path to success, and I like what Tony Robbins says, which is, you know, if anybody has ever done it before, you just have to learn all the steps that they went through and model their success. And so if you want to be a great chef, you model exactly how many pinches of whatever it is they do and the process physically and mentally that they go through to get there. The same thing is true of operating a martial arts school. And once you have your numbers, you're now able to benchmark against the top schools in the world, because that's our role, is to have that information at our fingertips. And we're able to show you there, in most cases, there is a right way and a wrong way to do the sales process. And there's a right way and a wrong way to structure the, not necessarily what specifically you teach them, but the way you go about it in the early stages toward good retention and good, and to have a high renewal process. And once you get these numbers, then it allows us to share those benchmark numbers. And it also allows you to understand the exact processes we're going to be teaching you to go through and why they're going to create a much more efficient school and move you into the top 5%.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the fundamental piece, that, and the reason that this is our first lesson today. I know that, you know, stat tracking isn't, you know, the most sexy topic perhaps on the planet, but that's why this comes first. This is all about, you know, having those fundamental measurements, so now we know exactly what is actually happening in your students. And you know, I would hazard to guess that if you're not currently, you know, actively tracking very accurately what's happening in your school, you're going to be surprised by some of the things that you discover here, right? And you're going to now be pretty readily able to put your finger on the pulse of exactly what the gaps are. And now the rest of this process, the rest of what you're going to experience through your NatLab membership over the next several years in growing your business, is one of my favorite games called Zap the Gaps, right? We're going to go back through these measurements. We're going to find out where the gaps are, where the low numbers are, and we're going to give you all the tools and resources that you would ever need to zap the gaps, to be able to multiply those conversion ratios. So this is an exciting part, you know, for me. You know, I love this process. It's just like when you're sitting in your martial arts school and a new student enrolls in your school. And I know how that feels. You feel like, you know, this student, you're now going to be able to help this student literally live a better life. You can visualize in your mind what the student is going to look like in 4 or 5 years when they become a black belt, and they're, you know, walking with their head high and they're confident and their self-esteem is, you know, through the roof. This is how I feel in this process, because I am absolutely certain that when we have these fundamental measurements, the process that you're going to go through over the next several years, you know, to go to the next level, the next level, and the next level, I can visualize where you're going to be, you know, in a year, 2 years, 3 years. And, you know, what you've said many times has really made a big impact on how we help school owners is it's much easier to, you know, net $20,000 a month in a martial arts school than it is to gross $20,000 a month in a martial arts school. Once you get to that level, it's much easier for us to get you to the next. So I'm excited about that. So thank you so much for your time today, Mr. Oliver. Thank everyone else for your time. Again, your homework assignment is to download these forms, take action, control these numbers, make sure you're measuring very accurately how many intros are happening, how many, you know, info calls are coming in, how many leads you're generating. So build that pipeline. You know, track very closely the statistics, and as we move through the next few lessons, we're going to help you dramatically improve and increase the conversion ratios. So fantastic. Thank you so much, sir, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.